Welcome to Two Dope Boys and a Podcast. I'm Michael Brooks. Phil McKenzie is traveling, making dope boys moves. And it is time for On Point. I'm here with super producer Matt Leck. And joining us is a writer, a comedian, a social commentator.
I'll take that.
Yeah, you should take it. Fuck that. A maker of faces.
That's another term for acting.
A rocker of a pretty dope nose ring. I'm usually not into it, but it's good. It works.
Thank you.
Tiara Francis.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. We're going to get to improv later so I can bust your chops.
Oh,
I didn't want to include that in your intro. So we've known each other for a little while, and what I wanted to do in this segment, you know, as you know, because you in fact do listen to Dope Boys, you're part of the Dope Boys experience. We talk to people who have many different experiences and angles of creative culture and parts in it. But sometimes, like actually my sister, you know, who's in LA and has, you know, writing and directing and producing content, I just wanted to sort of like re-anchor a conversation in terms of somebody who's sort of doing it, like I guess in some ways in a relatively traditional sense, just in terms of like, you know, you've worked on shows, you have the improv thing, you have stand-up, you got, you know, you're doing that experience in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to basically, you know, start in broad brush. Like, when did it start for you? And how did you get where you are? And what's going on?
When did it start? Well, if you want to go back to the very beginning, I've always been a performer.
Right.
You know, ever since I was a kid. And I kept that up through, you know, college and everything. But I did not think that I could actually do that as a profession. I was like, I'm at Barnard, I'm at Columbia, I have to actually study something. So I didn't become like a theater major or anything.
What did you major in?
I majored in comparative literature, French and German.
So you went was
like
more,
a true nerd.
So you're like more corporate track.
Not even like, corporate. No, I don't know. I thought I was going to be a professor.
I'm playing. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, yeah, I thought I was going to be a professor or, you know, maybe, I don't know, work in foreign affairs or something.
Right.
Somehow I got into tech after college. I was translating for a German gaming company.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I basically got offered a chance to go live in Germany at the same time as I was offered a position on Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell.
Right.
Just because I knew some people. I had like interned at SNL, you know, I always
so
kind
you kept
of,
up yeah. that track. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
I kept it up, you know, I had some contacts, and I got offered, you know, a very entry level position at Totally Biased, and I decided, you know, it was that moment or never to kind of get into the industry. And so I started working at Totally Biased. I started as a production secretary.
Right.
And then
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, it's literally just you answer the phone, you there's a whole long list of producers and stuff that need updates on the show.
Okay.
And or like network people who need updates, and you basically just send it. You're like the liaison between the show and the network. And you answer phones or whatever. But I got to know everybody. I got to know all the writers. I got to know Kamau. Everyone liked me. I ended up becoming the writer's assistant.
That was very Trump the way you did that. I liked that. I got to know everyone. Everyone liked me. I mean, I think W. Kamau Bell liked me too. I think, frankly, if you ask anyone, they all liked me.
I mean, they did. Yeah. They still do.
And it's true. That's a fantastic point.
I am likable.
So then what's the next? You said writer's assistant.
Yeah, so then I became the writer's assistant.
And what is that? Because I think for a lot of people listening, like this is a whole other understanding of these industries and how they work, right? Like everybody kind of understands who's on screen.
Mm-hmm.
They get that there's writers. They kind of get that there's producers, but they probably don't even really know what producers do.
No.
And then there's this whole other set of jobs that make all of this stuff possible that are like the heart of the creative industry in some ways.
Yeah.
So like what is that? What is a writer's assistant?
The writer's assistant, honestly, can vary from show to show. And most shows, the writer's assistant is basically in the room taking notes and making copies of scripts and handing out those scripts and like taking dinner orders, and that's it.
Okay.
Totally Biased was a very different experience just because Kamau was so open to hearing from someone who is younger, from someone who is a black female that ended up being the audience, you know, for Totally Biased. So
and
I got
Totally Biased ran on FX.
Yeah, it was on FX.
And it was for what were the years of it again?
Ooh, I should know that off the top
like
of my head. It was like
2012
yeah, yeah, yeah.
to 2014. Something
yeah,
like
exactly.
Anyways, yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I basically was allowed to talk in that sense, you know. But usually writers' assistants are, like, not allowed to talk. That's, like, the first thing, you know, that you learn. But I basically, you know, got to have some sort of input on the show. And even by the second season, you know, got to write some stuff. You know, I ended up writing a bit with Brian McCann, who's like, you know, Conan superstar.
Right.
Still great. And that is basically how I started, you know, my love affair with comedy. Like,
are you doing stand up at this time as well? Or?
I was not doing stand up. I, while I was, it was the first couple of months, one of the writers, you know, asked me what I wanted to do. And I was like, I'm an actress. And I've, you know, taken, you know, different courses and stuff like that. And he was like, you should get into UCB. Mm. I wish I had gotten into UCB just because it's, that's where people are going to kind of build a community. So I started taking classes at UCB.
That's kind of like a legendary improv place. Okay.
Upright Citizens Brigade. You know, Amy Poehler started it with her, you know, Three Amigos. And I took classes there, you know, started doing a lot of improv. And then I got into stand up. And I was just around that world from, you know, all the writers on Totally Biased and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then take us and I mean, and you can, you know, the next parts of the story, but where you are now, because somehow that kind of like opening created a space where you are now, where you're working across all these platforms. Mm. And I guess this is something again that I kind of learned from my sister, that she really early on and even in her college training, like packaged herself as someone who could act, write, direct, and kind of move across. Like, and it seems like you kind of worked your way organically into that. And now you're producing your own original content, which I want you to talk about. But how did you start to like make that stuff kind of come together on a continuum for yourself?
Well, you just start to realize that you want to be doing it. You want to be, you know, up on stage. You want to be creating content that's online that actually lives there so people can see it, because improv is really great, but it goes away.
Right.
You know, right. So if you're in some basement or even in a festival, like I'm part of an improv group, Affirmative Action, it's all women of color. And,
I
you
get
know,
it. Yeah. Got it.
Got it.
I got
it. Got it. Good.
Yeah. Got it.
You know, we get asked to do festivals and stuff like that. We're pretty decently known, but, you know, all of those performances go away because that's just improv.
Right.
And I've always loved, you know, narrative and sketch comedy. So I, you know, decided to start producing my own stuff. And then just from being around UCB, being in Affirmative Action, people seeing videos that I, you know, had done, I got into this web series called Deadass TV.
Tell us about that.
So Deadass TV, which is at deadass.tv, is...
There'll be a link on the show notes. Yeah.
It's a hip-hop late-night show. So I call it a cross between, you know, Wayne's World and Eric Andre, but with sketch comedy as well. It's
That's
such
good.
A weird hybrid, but we have a lot of fun with it. So, you know, it's hosted by two whack-ass rappers who think they're better than they are, and that's Tego and Bali. And those are the two guys who kind of started it and brought everyone together. And so they brought, you know, a bunch of comedians from, like, across UCB. We have a new... you know, person on board who has like an Emmy for producing a documentary and is like really involved in hip hop culture. And he brought all of us together to kind of create this, you know, zany, weird hip hop kind of New York referencing late night show. And we have musical guests. So we're really trying to kind of, you know, connect those two cultures, because sketch comedy can be kind of like just goofy sometimes. Yeah, and not cool. Right.
Not, you know, I agree. No, I think that's that I remember, because when I did, and you know, comedy is definitely a significant part of what I do, right? Like, it's part of my portfolio, especially like a Majority Report, and I do impressions, and there's a sketch component, and there's also just like this way in which, you know, we're all in that, you know, there isn't really a distinction between information and entertainment in the sense, and I'm like, you know, a really strong believer that it's like, I want the information that I convey on Yemen or inequality to be impeccable, and I also want this Obama's Nation of Islam minister impression to be really funny, right? Like, those are like equally important things to me. And I think that one of the things that I always would think about when I, and I did do stand up briefly back around college, but I, you know, the whole culture of it was so like self-denigrating, and I don't have any problem with, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever your is authentic to your persona, but I would be like, you know, I don't know, like guys like Eddie Murphy were so cool.
Yes.
Like, what made it necessary that like you were up? I mean, you know, someone like Louis C.K., like, part of that schlub thing is like part of the genius and natural expression of who he is. But even someone like Bill Burr, on the other hand, like, you know, it's not the rock star the way like an Eddie is, but he doesn't, you know, he's kind of like, fuck you, I'm Bill Burr. Like, and that's also authentic. Somehow though, there was this thing that spread in the comedy culture that it needs to like be schmucky or schlubby. And it actually started to seem like inauthentic in its own way, because that's what you were like, just like if you're a rapper, you got to be hard. And if you're a comedian, you got to be a schmuck.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely have seen that. And do you see that? I mean, I just like when I see, you know, like a really hot girl up there who's just like, oh my God, like no one likes me. Or, you know, like a dude who I know them personally and they're just ragging on themselves. And I'm like, that's not yet. Like you said, it's not authentic.
Right.
It's also kind of a bummer. Like when I go out, I want to have a good time. You know what I mean?
And right.
I that was something that I struggled with too, just kind of like finding my comedic voice, you know, because I'm gonna have fun with myself and not take myself seriously, but I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh my God, I'm so like terrible and like fat and ugly, and like if I kiss somebody, that means I'm a slut, because that's a brand of comedy too that
that one missed me. and in fact, every part of that attitude can miss me.
Yeah.
I really don't need any of that in my life. It's terrifying.
It just like, it's upsetting, because it's kind of in a weird way reaffirming stuff that we're fighting against. You know what I mean?
Right. Totally.
So yeah, I think, you know, kind of finding my own voice, like, and moving away from that has been, I think, really interesting process for me. You know,
so there's three interesting parts that you identified there, and I want you to touch on all of them, but go in whichever way you want to go. I mean, one is, I think that one of the things that I like about culture right now a lot is that we're totally in hybrid times, because everybody is a hybrid, right? Like, you know, now it's like you walk around Brooklyn and I see like an, you know, ton of black dudes with the Nirvana shirt. There was a time like when we were like kids, it was differentiated. I mean, not necessarily, definitely. You know, it was like you listen to that music or you listen to this music or you listen to, right now it's like, okay, so that's, and then I think it's also just the recognition that it was like, well, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, read the New Yorker and listen to Future, or, you know, watch some particular kind of comedy, but also are, you know, I don't know, like there's a lot of young people into fucking bird watching. Like we are all hybrids, right? And so that like, that's fun, because that means that the forms we're creating can play with those tensions and contrasts, but like not in an 80s or 90s movie format where it's like, he's like this and he's like that and look at them come together. It's kind of more like, oh, actually they're really kind of similar and then bizarre in their own ways. I mean, that's one thing that I'd like you to touch on. But then the other things We talked about finding your own authentic voice. And then, like, actually for all of the, like, you know, navel gazing and intellectualism, getting somewhat back to, like, and I think about this all the time too, like, you gotta make people laugh. Like, you can, you know, it's entertainment. Yeah. Like, even in the context of a political podcast that's very information driven, it's like, I'm gonna do a bit. The fundamental purpose is the laugh and the entertainment value.
Yeah.
Everything is ancillary to that.
Exactly. Okay, I'll touch on that last point first.
I noticed you seem the most excited about that point. The other points, you're like, eh.
No. I'll talk about being a hybrid.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
But in terms of, I mean, I just agree. You know, as much as I love having a discussion about, you know, social policy or, you know, politics or all of this serious stuff. Like I said, I thought I was going to go into politics, like international politics possibly. And I'm still like, you know, I fight hard in my own way for, you know, the culture. Like, let's say, like, you know, just Black girls being able to exist and doing their own thing without being constantly judged. Like,
You've defended Bill Cosby's work as an example.
No.
Sorry, that's a joke. All right, go ahead.
Don't even put that in the air. You know, but I am a total believer in, like, social justice, but at the same time, like, you got to make people laugh, and sometimes, you know, that involves, you know, not always making a point
right
at the end. Sometimes it involves going about it in the way that people don't necessarily think they want to hear at first. You know, if you're going to do this, if you're going to, like, brand stuff as comedy, like, make it funny.
Yeah,
you know,
at the very least. Final two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
What in the culture generally, and then what you're working on specifically, are you most excited about? I mean, obviously, you know, talk about Dope Boys as much as you would like.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I actually prepared some notes.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Take your time.
Okay, so since I'm going to do a music thing and then... and then a show literature thing. So music right now, I've been listening to a lot of No Name.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, I'm sure a lot of people, like, heard of her way before I did. And I know I'm late, but I think some
Whatever.
People still haven't
yet. I don't believe
yet.
In that concept.
Yeah. I've just, like, for some reason.
I don't
reason,
believe in, I'm not like, I don't, I, that culture of, like, it just dropped. I don't like that shit. Because also sometimes there's some things that just drop that I do not need to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody else can weed through it for me.
Exactly.
I'll be re-listening to an old Blue Juice song. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need to check out the new, like, Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
Someone just tell me what a decent song is. Yeah, but No Name I've been really into. I think because it just feels like spring and summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like such a vibe, especially after, you know, like Solange's album. Like,
Solange's
I feel like my winter
dope.
Was like that.
Yes.
And, you know, and now...
That's awesome.
And now I'm just like in this like No Name space. And then, oh man, can I just be a really big nerd and talk about how excited I am for American Gods? Because I am freaking out.
I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't even know what that is.
You don't know,
what
that is. Oh man, Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
He wrote a book called American Gods. And the basic, you know, plot summary is like the old gods are in a war with the new gods. And so the old gods are like what immigrants brought over to America, like Odin or, you know, like different African gods and goddesses and all these, you know, sorts of other like folkloric characters and stuff. And then the new gods are like technology and media. And so like a war coming.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then there's like a human dude whose name is Shadow. And he's like kind of caught in the middle. He's like helping out or whatever.
Matt always asks to be called Shadow. So I never got that before. So what are you working on that?
We're about to finish out our current season of Deadass. So we have a few more episodes coming up. They come on Monday nights at 8 p.m., but of course it's the internet, so they all live there.
Right. They don't actually like evaporate.
Yeah, they don't actually evaporate. Right, we try to treat it like a TV show, though. We have a very like tight schedule.
Right.
And yeah, it's every Monday 8 p.m. that they're released, and they're all up on Facebook and stuff. And in addition to that, you know, I'm writing, working on a web series for myself, me and my roommate.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, because, just to like talk about that hybrid idea too a little bit.
It's yeah.
Me and my roommate, my new roommate, she is, like Latina, and she's, Colombian and German,
mm-hmm.
and does comedy as well. And she's like gorgeous and like, you know, I'm of African and Jamaican descent, African American and Jamaican descent, and some people say that I'm cute. And we just
that was like 50% that old like comedy trope you were knocking before. That was like very stealth.
It was. I
yeah,
loved it.
Yeah.
But you know, well, I'm basically just going to work on a web series for both of us because we both get like we're really hard to type.
Right.
For a lot of people, like when you go into auditions and stuff, you know, you get called in for a certain type, basically.
Right.
Or if you're doing classes and stuff, you try to get your type. And, you know, we're both just like so goofy, but we don't look our type necessarily.
Yeah.
So I'm working on a web series kind of about that. How to deal with that. And
goofy babes.
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, I got it. I'm sorry. I'm a brand guy. I'm just trying to distill the essence. as I always say, if you ever need like an, you know, evil Swiss lawyer or something, I'm available.
I mean, you might.
Yeah,
write
you
it
probably
in.
Would. Or you know, actually, I could probably do like sleazy actor, director, or agent. As long as it's, you know, morally suspect. I got you.
As long as it's...
Yeah.
That's the main... Yeah.
Yeah, it could be any of those things. I'm flexible. I know what my core proposition is. All right, Tiara Francis, thank you so much for joining us on Point.
Thank you for having me.
All right.